College Weekend, all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin in Athens, where Kenyan athletes are chasing more long-distance running glory in the birthplace of the marathon. Ancient Greek history tells us the classic 42-kilometer race was instituted to commemorate the fabled run of the soldier Pheidippides, a messenger from the Battle of Marathon to Athens, who reported victory over the Persians. History also tells us, after exclaiming, "We have won!" Pheidippides collapsed and died. The marathon is definitely a grueling event, and hopefully Sunday's Athens Marathon will proceed smoothly with no injuries and no fatalities to report. Ahead of the race, the energetic Andy Edwards caught up with a top runner from Kenya. Here's Andy.
Well, Daniel Mutete from Kenya is one of the leading contenders for the Athens Marathon this year. We all know it's the classic course, the authentic course, and a very tough one as well. Daniel, what sort of shape are you in? Because mid-September, you did very well in South Africa, second in the Cape Town Marathon, ran 2:09. So have you recovered well from that?
Yeah, I believe that I've recovered from the marathon I did in Cape Town. Though I was pacing, started to finish the race, I went back to Kenya, continued with my training, and I hope for the best on Sunday.
So the legs and the rest of the body don't feel the after effects of the Cape Town Marathon?
Concerning Cape Town, it is past, I don't remember. I'm just focusing on doing the best that I can do, and also breaking the course record of this race.
Well, we know the course record is 2 hours, 10 minutes, 37 seconds, set by another Kenyan, Felix Kandi. That's a tough challenge. Have you researched the course? Because it is hilly. It's up and down.
I've been told about the course. It's a hard course. I have my friend, who is Rogers Kilimo, my pacemaker and the pace maker of the race also. Are you expecting if the weather is good and the pace goes well up to 30 kilometers, can try to break the course record?
Would you want to hold it steady, say to halfway? Because the last 10 kilometers are downhill. Have you thought about the pacing for the race?
That would depend on the technical meeting. That is the one who dictated the pace. And then I believe they have planned the pace that will lead us in breaking the course record.
And the finish is in the historic 1896 Olympic Stadium. Will that be special for you? I mean, this is where the first modern Olympic Games was held.
I feel happy to be invited here in Athens. Realized it is the place where the first marathon was held. Something that gives me a lot of motivation in my career, to continue working hard, to lower my time, and to see if I can become a champion like the others.
We'll see indeed. Daniel Smoltechi, all the best for Athens Marathon on Sunday. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you very much.
The energetic Andy Edwards also caught up with one of the main organizers of the annual Athens Marathon. Once again, here's Andy.
Kostas Panagopoulos is the president of the Hellenic Athletics Federation and has been one of those seeing the development, the rise of the Athens Marathon, the authentic. This year, Kostas, we're also talking about more records for Athens. Participation numbers up from, 50,000 to 60,000 in total. Also up in the marathon. What are the factors? Can you say what are the key factors for the rise in numbers of people doing not only the marathon, but the 10K, the 5K?
Well, I would say that, first of all, it was a very intelligent, holistic plan in order to promote running, starting from 3K, then to 5K, in order to have marathon runners after some years. And this has proved a huge success. Through not only the Athens Marathon, but also the various races that the Hellenic Athletic Federation organized all over the country. After that, we were lucky enough to have wonderful colleagues in this effort. I'm talking about Mike Sasimakopoulos and his team, our technical director, Vangelis Papapostolou and his team, the employees of the Federation, which is very important, because, you know, you count on those people in order to deliver properly what they have to do. And they did so, and they are doing so.
Can I just ask, because, you know, everybody around the world knows that Greece as a country has had hard times financially, austerity. I think it's fair to say there were times when people thought, well, will the Athens Marathon take place? You've come through all that, so what state are you in now in terms of being able to put on a race? I mean, do you get state funding, commercial sponsors?
The truth is that the Athens Marathon is probably the most interesting case study of a success story during the severe crisis that Greece was suffered for years. The key factor for this in terms of funds is what we did with our sponsorship program. The Athens Marathon is 100% based on the sponsorship program of the Hellenic Athletics Federation. A program which connects the Athens Marathon, the Half Marathon every spring, the City of Run Greece, and, of course, the national teams of Greece. And based on that, we were in a position to overcome the crisis, to overcome the financial and generally the problems that Greece faced for more than 10 years. And now it seems that the country is recovering. It seems that we can be more optimistic about the future. And that means that we will be in a position to do more things in the future in order to be able to invite and to have in Athens more than 60,000 people, because, you know, we are in the middle of our road. The Athens Marathon is the authentic marathon. I believe that every marathon runner wishes to come at least once to run the authentic. And this is our message to the runners of all over the world. Come to Athens, run the authentic, be part of the history.
I remember, I think it was last year, we were saying, well, if we have to increase the numbers or the demand is such that we want to increase it, there then has to be road widening, the infrastructure, because you can't just say 60,000 want to run, but we can't fit them on the road. So have you done anything about that?
Well, yes, we have done. This is the main reason for the 2 days race this year. We moved the race of 10K on Saturday in order to have space for more runners at the authentic course, to have more runners at the marathon start. So this is the why we could extend our limits from 18,000 to 20,000 concerning the classical course. Of course, it is an absolutely necessity to have works concerning the infrastructure at the start. We are hoping that now that things are getting better, financially, I mean, in Greece, we will be able to make everyone to understand how necessary it is to move very fast.
And just lastly, from what you're saying and plans for development and the popularity, not just within Greece, of the whole running weekend, but, you know, numbers internationally of runners coming here are increasing, you'd be pretty confident of saying, well, if we have 60,000 next year, we could be having even more in the future?
Well, it looks like the demand is going to keep growing in the years to come. So it's for us to make all the necessary moves in order to be able to accept more runners at the Athens Marathon. And of course, at the same time, to promote the Athens Half Marathon, because the Athens Half Marathon is a wonderful opportunity for a spring break in Athens, one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
Well, running a marathon is hard work, but that's another reason for recovery after the race. Thank you. Kostas Panagopoulos, President of Hellenic Athletics Federation.
Thank you, guys.
Hi, my name is Larry London, and this week, Border Crossings will invite you to the world of Nile Rodgers. Nile Rodgers is one of the greatest producers and guitarists in the world of music. And this special show features the superstar songs such as Chic, David Bowie, Madonna, and Daft Punk. All of the songs are produced by the legendary Nile Rodgers. So don't miss this special program coming up this week at 1500 Universal, right here on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Larry. Always ready to cross musical borders. That's Larry London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Also in Athens, the Association of International Marathons and Distance Races, or AIMS, will hold its annual Best Marathon Runner Awards ceremony on Friday evening. Olympic champion and world record holder Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya has won the men's award the past 4 years, and Eliud would seem to be a prime candidate to win again in 2019. Last month, in a special race held in Vienna, Kipchoge became the first person in history to break 2 hours in the marathon, clocking 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. However, it did not count as an official world record because Kipchoge had special pace setters and other assistants during the race in Austria. The energetic Andy Edwards reports, because of the calendar year time period for the Ames Awards, Kipchoge's achievement was not eligible, and neither was last month's women's marathon world record set by Kenya's Bridget Koske. Andy says the winners of the 2019 Ames Marathoner of the Year Awards are world champions Lalisa Desisa of Ethiopia and Ruth Chepngetich of Kenya. Now, Lalisa is coming off a disappointing performance in the New York City Marathon 4 days ago. Lalisa was defending his New York title, but he dropped out after 7 miles before the New York race. I said it would be interesting to see how Lalisa ran because he was competing only 29 days after winning the grueling world marathon title in Doha in blistering hot temperatures. Elsewhere, next year's men's and women's Olympic marathons in Japan were officially moved recently from Tokyo to Sapporo. The decision proved controversial. Just ahead, VOA's Jim Stevenson will have that story and more sports news.
After 2 weeks of open and bitter debate, the Tokyo Olympic Marathon is going north to Sapporo, and Tokyo Governor Yuriko Koike isn't happy about it. At a meeting with the IOC in Tokyo, Koike grudgingly accepted the move but rejected the process the IOC used in making the decision to take away one of the Olympic Games' signature events from the host city.
開催都市の東京都として大会を成功させる成功に向けて
As the host city of Tokyo, in view of its importance for the success of the tournament, we cannot agree or concur with the decision of the IOC. But the IOC has the final authority to change, and we will not obstruct the decision. I made a decision, but I dare say it is a decision without an agreement. Koike was angry about the decision having been made unilaterally by IOC President Thomas Bach. John Coates, IOC Tokyo 2020 Olympics Coordination Committee Chairman, said the decision belongs solely to the IOC.
The authority to change the venue, the competency, belongs to the IOC. Second, the Tokyo Metropolitan Government will not be asked to bear the cost which is to be incurred in the move to Sapporo of a new venue.
The International Olympic Committee abruptly announced the marathon and race walk change 2 weeks ago, fearing Tokyo's summer heat could create television images like those seen last month from Doha, Qatar. There, dozens of runners collapsed while running the marathon at midnight at the World Track and Field Championships. Some were carried away on stretchers, others headed to ambulances in wheelchairs.
It's been, I think, the toughest championship that we've had to try and win.
British Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton placed second at the U.S. Grand Prix in Austin, Texas Sunday, which was enough to clinch his sixth Formula One driver's title.
It took us so much to get here, so much sacrifice. So it's been such a freaking hard year. It's been painful.
While it may look easy to the fans, Hamilton says looks are deceiving.
Also, you got to remember, we've won the championship last year, for example. It is not easy to stay in the lead. It is not easy to stay hungry, shoot, and try and raise the bar that you've created as a team.
He says it's not just good teamwork, but the way his Mercedes team members work together.
We work closely together. We lean on each other. We push each other to... I'd like to think that we've each individually pushed each other to another level each year.
Hamilton again this year was driving against the best in the sport.
I mean, I don't ever usually rate my competition. I mean, we're here to win. But it's been fierce. I feel like we've had to work harder than ever this year.
It's been a tough Formula One season for Hamilton personally.
I've left a lot of these races literally with nothing left, and it's taken days to recover.
As it's time to celebrate his achievement, Hamilton has some different ideas from those around him.
My friends and family are here. I'm sure they're going to be all bubbly and want to go and put my feet up and chill and watch a movie.
Lost my voice on Wednesday. It hasn't come back since. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. We won the World Series, baby!
Baseball fans in Washington had a lot to celebrate as the city threw a parade for the Washington Nationals after the Major League Baseball team shocked the Houston Astros to win Game 7 of the World Series.
Look how happy everybody is. It just brings a city that has lots of controversy to be all as one and be happy for something that everybody is happy for.
Once you meet people who are fans, they just open up their hearts to you and you just feel like family.
Nationals general manager Mike Rizzo says the players and the fans never gave up.
They earned it, man. The fan base of this town, they stuck with us through bad and good, and I couldn't be happier to bring that trophy home and show it in front of all these people.
The team didn't have to travel far to visit the White House.
For the first time in nearly 100 years, our nation's capital is celebrating a World Series victory. That's big stuff.
It was all possible with an improbable Game 7 victory, one of five elimination games the wild-card Washington Nationals faced, all won as comeback wins. It was part of a season manager Dave Martinez became used to.
This year, I can honestly say, nothing would have surprised me. I mean, from where we started, some of our traveling woos, I mean, you name it. We've been through a lot. But like I said before, these guys, we stuck together, you know. They believed in each other. I believed in them.
In working their way from the worst record in baseball to the championship, Martinez kept his players focused on just winning the game they faced on any given day. He says that didn't change when the game meant a title.
I told him, you know, before the game, I said, hey, I want you guys to just treat this as just another game. It's game 184, which is hard to do. I said, but we made it this far. Just play one more game, you know, one more 1-0, and they did that tonight.
Pitching ace Max Scherzer threw for Washington in Game 7, and while he wasn't at his best, Martinez was happy.
His location wasn't as crisp as it wanted to be. He fought through some unbelievable innings, and he kept us in the ball game. That's all we can ask for Max. I mean, he had 102 pitches. He came in and wanted to stay. He said, hey, I'll give you another inning if you need me. And I said, Max, you did a great job. You kept us in the ball game. We'll get this. We'll figure it out. We're going to win this game. So, but what a fantastic job he did.
Games 2 and 6 winning pitcher Steven Strasburg was named the series most valuable player to add to his three other postseason victories.
In this game, it's very hard to be perfect. very hard to control things, but the one thing that you can control is your approach and how you handle your business off the field. And when you go out there and compete, it's just about execution. And you put in all the work in the off season, in between starts, to go out there and try and be the best version of yourself.
In the seventh inning, Washington bats came alive just enough to take the lead on a weak hit by Howie Kendrick that just stayed inside the foul pole to count as a home run.
All the fans were standing up for most of the game, and you know, you just kind of had a feeling that it was going to get real quiet in that inning, and you know, it did. And you know, Howie's been big for us all year, and you know, go out there and hit another homer, especially after the big grand slam and the NLDS. It's just amazing to watch.
So many little details added up for Washington, including the first time ever in the 115-year history of the World Series where each team won on the opposing team's home field. Houston had the best record at home this season. Was that hard to believe for Astros manager A.J. Hinch?
I mean, it's not that hard for me. I mean, I just live it. So it's the Nats are really good. Congratulations to them. You know, Riz and Davey and the coaching staff, the players. I mean, this is about the Nationals. So this isn't about not performing at home or anything that we didn't do. I come away incredibly impressed by the team that we played and got beat by.
Houston won the World Series 2 years ago, and Hinch says this year ranks as a great season as well.
And let's be honest, there's 28 other teams that would love to have our misery today. You know, these teams, we play to get here. We play to have an opportunity to win it all, and it's impossible to call a season in which you reach Game 7 of the World Series and have the lead going into the seventh inning as not good. I mean, it was an incredible season for us. It feels really bad. This is going to sting for a really long time. And it should.
And so the World Series glory belongs to the Washington Nationals. And for outfielder Juan Soto, it's shared by the fans, who virtually all had never seen a baseball championship in Washington.
You guys have been amazing. You guys have been right there for us. Cheering in the left field, center field, right field, all the crowd. Amazing. I love you guys.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The National Basketball Association's reigning most valuable player continues to live up to his MVP status early in the NBA season. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles.
Giannis Antetokounmpo nearly had a triple-double in the Bucks' 129-124 win at the Clippers. The Greek freak had 38 points, 16 rebounds, and 9 assists, leading the NBA's highest-scoring team to its fourth consecutive win.
It's fun. It's fun. You know, everybody's getting involved. Everybody gets to touch the ball. Everybody gets to shoot the ball. It's fun.
Milwaukee hit 18 three-pointers. George Hill had 6 of them and finished with 24 points. L.A.'s Kawhi Leonard sat out the game. Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams each scored 34 in the loss. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks now have 6 wins and 2 losses this season. The Los Angeles Clippers have 5 victories and 3 defeats. In another NBA result Wednesday night, the Utah Jazz edged the visiting Philadelphia 76ers 106-104. Philadelphia lost the game, and the team also lost star guard Ben Simmons early in the second quarter because of right shoulder soreness. Simmons suffered a stinger in his shoulder after bumping Jazz guard Royce O'Neal. Cameroonian star Joel Embiid had a game-high 27 points and 16 rebounds for Philadelphia. And that wraps up the November 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back.
get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
The solar system was anything but peaceful during and shortly after its formation 4.5 billion years ago. A new study from Rice University in Texas and China's Sun Yat-sen University suggests odd gravitational data gathered by NASA's Juno spacecraft may be explained by a massive head-on collision between a young Jupiter and a still-forming planet in the early solar system. The researchers say the Juno data indicates Jupiter's core is not as dense and is more extended than expected. The study suggests this massive collision could have mixed the dense contents of the core with less dense material in the layers that surrounded it. Study co-author Andrea Izella, an astronomer at Rice, says leading theories of planet formation indicate Jupiter began as a dense, rocky, or icy planet and later gathered its thick atmosphere from the primordial disk of gas and dust that gave birth to our sun. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a slum in Uganda and a poor neighborhood in the United States have something in common, chess. We'll explore how one man uses chess to create social change on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, my name is Larry London. Next week, we will invite you to Border Crossings as we feature the most famous city in America. We're going to introduce the songs about New York, written and performed by some great singers. So why don't you come and join us and feel the atmosphere of the Big Apple, New York City in music. Next week at 1500 Universal, it's happening right here on The Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.